Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Yeah, it is wonderful to be, I almost want to say be back. For those of you who don't know me that well, I'm Maria, and we had a small one, our third one, in February, and yeah, it has been quite a nice time, but it was a busy time, and yeah, it's for me good to be back. We now have three small ones, that is under three, so we have our hands full. But we are enjoying, obviously, every moment. So it's wonderful for me to be back here. I think it was a while ago since I've been here in front. I've been there, but I haven't been here. But let me pray for us. Let's close our eyes and then we jump in. Yeah, Jesus, we just want to say thank you that we can just gather, Lord, and just enjoy fellowship and enjoy one another. And yeah, just reminded, Lord, when we sing songs like these, Lord, where we say nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that is what saves, that is what changes us, that is our righteousness. And we thank you, Jesus, for your work on the cross. And this morning we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we can learn from it, and we praise you, Lord, for this morning, and we pray, Lord, that you help us just see what you want to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are now in the book of Titus, busy going through the pastoral letters. We started with 1 and 2 Timothy last year, and now we are finding ourselves in Titus 1, today verse 10 to 14. We've had 5 weeks of Titus already, where Vian shared a lot about elders and the characteristics of elders. And today we will look a bit to why we appoint elders. But the answer to that is actually relatively short. So I'm going to go a bit devotional as well, which is going to be fun. But just to give you a bit of background, so Titus was on the island Crete, where they planted many churches. And yes, they had issues like all, normal churches have, because, the enemy is there and busy with his work. And Paul was giving them medicine once again, and he was saying, appoint elders. And then he started with the characteristics, what elders should have, and we'll look at that. Just if you weren't here the few weeks before, we'll read verses 5 to 9 as well, and then we'll continue this week from verse 10, which explains to us the reason why Paul said these things. So you can read with me, it's going to be on the board. We'll read from verse 5 again, just to give you a bit of background. So Paul saying to Titus, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover for good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. And just a side note, yes, we may not everyone be elders, maybe not even one day, but we must all aspire to these characteristics. We should all work towards, being like this. Amen? This is what God wants for us. So he's saying, this is what you should look for, Titus. look for these characteristics. Not competence, but character. It's really important. When you appoint these people, look at their character. And these churches have been, you know, being planted about, you know, between, I'm not sure, 1 to 5 years ago. So they're not, they cannot be elders that has 20 years of walk with Jesus that you can rip out there. They're all new to the faith, especially the faith of Jesus Christ, because he died just a while ago. So, and obviously risen. But therefore, they cannot really go on, you know, knowing them well. So he's teaching Titus to go and look for these people based on their character. Okay, so then it explains. It starts in verse 10 with four. Now that's the reason why. That's the reason why you should look for these people with these character. Four. There are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers. So those are the big three things. Okay, we're going to focus a lot on that. But it also goes on. So let's read it all. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers. Especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain. For they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. And this testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. So, I actually liked what Vian did a while ago. And what he did was, he stopped a bit and he said, turn to one another and discuss a bit. And I think it's good because it gives us another sense of what is going on here. So I want you to turn to someone and just say to them, what do you see? Why did Paul say to Titus, why is elders necessary? So read those verses. Let's put up just verse 10 again there, Hinty. So that four, it starts, for there are, and then it starts to give the reason. So just in your own words, turn to someone and give them, tell them why you think he said there should be elders. I'm going to give you 1 minute. Quick one. So I know this discussion can get very long and it can get very lekker. But I'm going to give you the answer. Don't worry. But it says it starts with four. And then it gives you, I gave it a bit away, maybe. But it says, you know, because there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers. And then we might ask the question, okay, so why should there be elders? And the reason is, elders are there to protect. They are there to protect the flock. From what? From these things. From these people. Okay? By doing what? You know, by rebuking them. It's saying that they must be silenced. They must be, hulle moet aangespreek word. They must be rebuked by actually speaking to them and saying to them, hey guys, you know, whatever it is you're saying, it is not true. And we're going to get to what those things are. But it is to protect the flock from false doctrines and a wrong focus. If I can sum it up really quickly. Okay, so it is to protect the flock. And bear in mind, you know, these people were also new converts in the faith. So, like I said, there won't be an ideal elder. That these characteristics that Paul shared with Titus, this enables people to see and identify the wrong things they are and go and address it. And we might say, you know, we might even feel, you know, there can't be that much wrong things that can happen. I want to give you an example. And it starts off very small. It does not start with us, you know, doing all wrong things. Let me not use examples, but There's this interesting church which I found in 2013. It said there was a guy that led a church. I don't know if I can call it a church, but he proclaimed that he was Jesus. He was Jesus Christ, you know, reincarnated. And he also said that he was, after a while, he said that he was the Antichrist. And we might think, you know, yeah, precies, né? It's just nobody will follow this guy. It's just, it's a mess. This guy has had 300 congregations, not sure now, with 100,000 followers. It's basically 10 times the size of Shofar. So it's an insane amount of people. They also had a TV channel, which reached millions of people. And obviously, it was utter nonsense. Amen? Jesus died for us on the cross and he went to heaven. So therefore, it's obviously the biggest heresy there are. And we might think, yeah, you know, no one will follow these people. And it doesn't start that way. It doesn't start with one day we come here, I say, I'm Jesus. It starts with small lies that we believe. Small doctrine that are false. Small things that we believe wrongly. And yeah, the bottom line is, you know, the devil has been sinning from the beginning. He's been there, you know, with false doctrines, sharing false doctrine. He is the master of false doctrines. And he will share false doctrine until Jesus comes back. Okay, and therefore we should be vigilant. Always. Always vigilant. So, let's jump into those three things. I'm quickly going to run over those three things and then I'll come back to it. But it starts with, you know, for there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers. That is the why. So what is insubordinate? You know, at first I was also like, I'm not sure. And especially the Afrikaans, it says tachteloos. Anyways, what it means is it's people that does not want to submit. Okay, so we don't want to submit to leadership because the obvious reason is we differ. We differ from the ways in which we think. We differ from the way that we believe. And therefore, we don't submit to what they are saying because we disagree. It says also, especially those of the circumcision party. So it's those people, and they pull left. Let's call it that. So they don't want they don't want to submit under church leadership. So they are insubordinate, and God established an order of authority everywhere. In the household, you know, it's the husband leading. In the church, there's elders leading. There's other leaders appointed. And we should be, you know, submissive to those authorities. That is what God calls us to do. And one day we will be judged on accord to that. The people that lead, they will be judged by in the way in which they lead. But it's our responsibility when we follow that we submit in a godly manner. It does not mean that you may not say anything. It's important. You must say the things that you feel that are wrong, especially if you feel in that way in the church. You may do that. And it's important to do that, but it's also how we do that. Amen? Not becoming insubordinate. Okay, and then we see empty talkers. So what does an empty talker do? There's a few things it can mean. It can mean either they speak empty in a way where they don't speak of religion things. They all the time want to speak about different things. And then there's also another type of empty talk where people speak and all the time speaking about, you know, difficult topics, which is really difficult to explain. You know, let's even use an example like election. All the time they want to speak about the election, or they want to speak about something that, you know, it's very difficult to understand, you know, God fully. It's very good to ask questions, né, and speak about these things. So I'm not saying never speak about it, but if that is what consumes you, you are an empty talker, okay? All the time you speak about these things. That is what your heart goes to as well. And we'll focus a bit on empty talk a bit later. Then we have deceivers. So what does deceivers do? I think it may be intentionally or it may be unintentionally deceiving people away from the truth. For me, this is normally false doctrine. This is just wrong, you know, wrong way of belief. Example that I like to use, Let me use it later. I'll use it later because then it fits better. But it's just people that deceives, okay? And they, let's say, they just take away something of Jesus. You know, they take away the glory of Jesus. They focus on self. They focus on different things, whether it's small things like, you know, baptism, or big things like salvation or whatever it may be. Wrong doctrine is wrong doctrine, and that will lead to bad fruit. Amen. So that's why the Bible also say, know the people, look at their fruit. Okay, especially over time. Okay, but we'll get back to this. We'll see. We see after that it says especially. So this problems happens especially to those of the circumcision party. So who is this party? Okay, it's a party. No, it's not a party. It's a party as in people, a group of people. Okay, and these people, they belonged to the Jewish party, which they came from Jewish backgrounds. And now they hear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus died for us on the cross, and therefore we can now inherit eternal life by believing in him, and nothing more of the law. Ne? That is what we believe. But the Jews, they had a hard time with believing this. In those days, you had this big, you know, conflict or tension between Jews and non-Jews. And we also, between the Gentiles and the Jews. There was a lot of eruptions. And now, all of a sudden, the gospel, which Jesus brought, says that now even Gentiles can be part of this Abrahamic covenant. And they were like, near, no ways. My whole life, you know, I've been striving after the law, you know, killing doves and bulls and sacrificing things for my sin. Now all of a sudden, anyone can just jump on this train. They had a hard time believing this, especially when it comes to circumcision. Circumcision was the thing that showed you are now part of the Abrahamic covenant, the nation of Israel. And now all of a sudden anyone can join, and this is where this insubordination comes in. You know, where this people feels, oh, you know, these Jews are just, they are hard people fighting for the right doctrines, which is good. But even Paul, you know, he was under the ocean was Gamaliel of Gemaliel, but he was, you know, trained by a Jew that was very strict, and he knew these things, especially the ways of the Jews. And he is saying, you know, these people must get to the point where they accept Jesus and understand there's nothing that I can do to inherit eternal life. I can merely believe. When we believe the gospel, when we believe the true gospel, it will change the way that I live, which then turns into good works. Amen. But when we say that there's something that I should add, like circumcision or sacrificing things, and believe in Jesus, and then there's salvation, it's wrong. So he's saying, especially those of the circumcision party, they are the ones that are insubordinate, empty talk, and they deceive. And we can see this is at the heart of the issue. This is the issue that they had. You know, and the guys from the pagan backgrounds, they might have it easier. You know, the people that believed in Greek gods, things like that, in Zeus, or whatever it might be. You know, now they join Christianity and they're like, okay, Zeus is eight. Jesus is the one. And it's easier to join, okay? And I think the Jews, they had challenges in their hearts by accepting these people. Therefore, they are insubordinate. We shouldn't kick them out of the church. We should get elders to rebuke them. Amen. Rebuke sounds like a harsh word. It's just helping them on the right path. Okay. In better English. Okay. We can add nothing to our salvation, you know, except the sin that made it necessary. What Bian always says. There's nothing we can add to our salvation. Okay, and these people must be silenced So why must they be silenced? Because they are bringing in these false doctrines. They are deceiving people. They are taking people with. It says here, you know, they are upsetting whole families. So how do they do that? You know, they get a foothold in a family. They have a friend or a family member. And they start to chat with them and tell them, you know, I don't agree with what they say. You know, and it starts by bringing disunity. And they upset whole families in the church. And this is why Paul says, okay, let's appoint elders that has character that can rebuke these people straight. Eh? They rebuke them sharply. We see in 1 Timothy 1 verse 4, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. Also, Paul writing to Timothy, we had this, it's not on the board now. But it said not to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God. So we see that there's the speculations, there's endless genealogies that they like to go after, which promotes, you know, speculations rather than the stewardness of God that is by faith. And why should and they ought not to teach, because they bring false doctrine, they are insubordinate, and they share unprofitable things or empty talk. Okay, they're empty talkers. All the time they talk, but they don't say much. We all know someone like that, nah. I'm joking. Okay, so these 3 points are big deals. Okay? But we've had a lot of talk about false doctrines. I don't know if you guys remembered, but when we started with 1 Timothy, the first few verses, it started with false doctrine. We are now almost 18 months later, we are still busy with false doctrine. It's important that we shed a light on false doctrine and obviously rebuke those people that are doing it in a loving way. Second thing, disunity. You know, we spoke a lot about gossip. We spoke a lot about, you know, speaking to the right person. If you have an issue with someone, go to them. We shed a lot of light on these things, so I won't be hammering it today. And these 2 points fall under, you know, being insubordinate. If you are insubordinate, you bring disunity. You gossip. You do the wrong things. And when you deceive, you bring a false doctrine. So it falls under those 2 things. And then the empty talkers, it falls a bit on a different point. There's 3 points. You can throw up those 3 points empty. But we identify these deceivers through people bringing a different doctrine, people bringing disunity. And then the point that I want to just shed some light on is people shifting our focus away from Jesus. And this is not that easily identifiable as the other two. We can easily see when someone bring a false doctrine. We can more easily see when someone is bringing disunity. But then thirdly, how do we identify people shifting our focus away from Jesus? Because this empty talk is what they are doing. And we need to answer that question today, because I feel that it's really, really important. It leads to a wrong focus. And in a sense, you know, we are all called for something specific. We are, in this time, called to do something specific. And what would the enemy like? He would just like that we focus on something different. Even if it's also something good. Just something different. The definition for sin is to miss the mark. It's to miss the mark. There's one mark. There's not a lot of marks. You cannot throw at everything. We should go towards the one thing, you know, God is calling us now for. And yes, it may entail a few things we are doing, but where is the focus? Where is our energy? Where is our hearts moving towards? It's really important. We see Timothy speaking of vain discussions and irreverent babble. We see Colossians 2 verse 8. It says the following: there's a danger of philosophy and human traditions that lead our thinking away. There's a danger of philosophizing, and there's human traditions that take our focus away from Jesus. Really important. Our hearts move, our efforts move towards something specific, our focus moves towards something specific. And let me use an example like being successful. It's a beautiful thing. It's good, but it's wrong if we idolize it. If we worship being successful or moving up in life or something like that, it will lead to destruction. It will lead to sin. Some other things that are maybe more closer to hearts is even if we worship our children, if you worship their dreams. I heard someone say now the other day, I'm just so, he's in a sense worried about his children's future. And I'm like, it's a good thing to worry about, but it's not what we worship. It's not what I strive for. It's not what I want to get right in life. If I get this right in life, then I'm good. No, wrong. We should give Jesus the glory. We live for him. We live for you. Because our hearts follow and yearn these idols. And in effect, it's an idol. If it's not Jesus, it's an idol. We see two verses that I'd like to share. It's Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2, which we'll start off with. It is, yeah, thank you, Andy. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor it labor in vain, which means for nothing. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Eating the bread of anxious toil. We are anxious, rising up early, working hard. For what? For nothing. If we do it wrong. If we have the right heart towards us and that is what God calls you to do, yes, then it will mean something. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 4 also says, then I saw that all toil and all skill in work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and a striving after the wind. There's this example also used in the Afrikaans service of seeing people, striving. I see them really working hard. I come and I'm dropping off, my daughter often, and I just see these people, they are tired. And they're working hard, struggling through life. Maybe they know the Lord. I'm not judging at all. But if it's not for the Lord, if it's not working towards the goal that Jesus sets before me, if my heart is not to do the will of the Lord, all of that is in vain. In Afrikaans, niks. In Engels, nothing. It will burn away. All your hard work. All the rising up early, all the going rest late. There's this picture of a, who of you know what a cabinet is, a cabinet? It's this big steel frame things in which there's a lot of files. And often what we do with God, we see the cabinet and we put him, all the things of God in the top drawer. This top one. So we pull out the top drawer and we're like, God, you are the most important. So yes, church and yes, small group and praying and Bible study. And this is the top drawer. And then there's a middle drawer, which is family. And it's also important. And there's my wife and there's caring for my children. And then there's a bottom drawer, which is work and other family and all those things. And when we do things that way, we miss the point. Because we close the God drawer. God is supposed to be the whole cabinet. He's supposed to be the structure. So when I open a drawer, God is part of my life. When I open the work drawer, he's there. I'm asking him, Lord, how should I do this? If I'm working, if I'm, you know, tending to my children, if I'm letting them go to sleep, if I'm coming to church, God is part of everything. And that is the way in which we should see, you know, these, it is the opposite of toiling and striving. It's, Lord, I do everything for you. Everything is unto you. Everything is for your glory. You see, the devil won't start off and say we should do satanic rituals. He just wants us to focus on something else that is not important. And he will slowly move your heart towards those things. And it's very easy. We should just repent of it and say, Lord, we are sorry. We're sorry that this is happening. I don't want to miss the mark. I want to really follow you. So we identify these people in our church through these three things, which we focused on the last point now quite a lot. People bringing a different doctrine, people bringing disunity, and people shifting our focus away from Jesus. So what is our first point? Why do we appoint elders? Our first point is elders must identify false doctrine and false teachers. These things that we spoke about, that's how we identify them. We as normal people, what do? That are not elders, we help them. Amen. Like I said in the beginning, that is what we should strive towards, to do the things that elders does. We identify these things. And it doesn't mean we need to go Sherlock Holmes on everyone, being suspicious, you know. No, we should test everything, definitely. But don't be critical. I mean, don't have a critical spirit. But really be, you know, be testing everything. And how do we know that we are in God's, you know, will when we test things? We read the Word of God. You know, we speak, we spend time with God. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, it is on the board there. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 to 4 says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to truth and wander into myths. And this is where I wanted to use that example. You know, we are so easily influenced. And a simple example, and I like to keep it very simple. I like to use this example as well because it's very difficult. Is when someone comes to you and they're like, oh, you know, I think it's okay to speed. Especially here in Nelson Mandela, you know, there's not a lot of people there. I can just go 100, and when I'm late for work, I just pitch on. And like, I was like, yes, amen, brother. Ek wil ook jaag een sekunde. And we have an obligation, you know, to say to someone, that is wrong. It's wrong to speed. I know we all want to do it, and I'm also late sometimes, which I can better at. But we should not speed. Okay, and it's a simple, simple example. But so often we accept that doctrine. It's a doctrine, whether you like it or not. It's a doctrine to say we can, because, you know, the government are not fixing the potholes, we can speed. You know, we can have a lot of ways to justify our actions. And we can accept those things so easily when we want those things. So very important that it says people have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their passions. That's what I want. I listen to someone that says what I want. It's very, very dangerous. Okay, we should always read the Word and test the Word. And how do we do that? Like I said, we know the Word. We understand the Word. We spend time on the Word. We spend time in prayer. Okay, we're almost done. This last three verses is basically repeating, but I just want to read it to you as well. We're going to maybe spend some time next week on it. But it says, one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, the evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. So that is quite different than what we've heard. But then this part is the same again. It says, therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. And that we've heard. Okay, it's basically repeating itself. But what Paul is saying, he's saying, Titus, I have a lot of compassion. You know, I know these people are difficult. But he's not saying, okay, let's go and plant another church. He's saying, no, we'll appoint elders that can rebuke them sharply. That's the medicine for the problem. Okay, and when we say that, you know, we will rebuke them sharply, it's not screaming and shouting at people. It's going in love to these people. Not going around the bush, but sharply saying to them, these things that you are doing is not right. Our church do not agree with this. And we have a discussion. The elders try to understand why they are saying these things. We try to teach them the ways that we believe as elders. And they are always having a heart of humility. We cannot go with arrogance to people, shouting at them, saying things. Okay, but on the other side as well, if you are on the receiving side of this, to understand that there's a role of an elder to do this, and to also seek your heart, and to be open to whatever they want to share with you as well. But hopefully they also listen so that you can share your heart. And that brings us to the second point, which is also what we should do. It says elders, but elders must guard the flock by rebuking false teachers sharply. Okay, and we are all called to do this. We are all called to rebuke people sharply. Rebuke sounds like a hard work. It's just to say to them, what you are doing, I think it's wrong. And this starts with a normal discussion. It doesn't start with plucking out the Bible and saying how wrong they are. It starts with, hey, I hear what you're saying. It doesn't sound that, you know, sound of a doctrine to me. Why are you saying these things? And trying to understand, you know, why are they saying these things? And helping them to maybe to a place of healing. Often we believe lies, we have idolatry at our hearts, and that's why we then have bad fruit or bad doctrine. And we can also, all of us, can receive more healing and be more like Jesus. Amen? Okay, so that brings us to our points at the end. You can throw it up there. But the first point we have is, do you constantly test the doctrine from those around you? And this is doctrine, this is disunity, and it is a focus. You know, addressing the focus of people if you feel that it's wrong. And then secondly, do you speak the truth in love regularly? It's important to always share the truth. If you feel that someone does not understand, in love, sharing the truth. And then there's two action points. I want us to think about this week and what we can pray for one another if we're done. But to be intentional in regards to guarding the truth and guarding your heart's desires. Okay, it's so important. What is your heart's desire? Do you want to do the will of God? Or do you want to follow your own will? And I'm asking it blatantly because often we don't want to do the will of God. We want to do things that we'd like to do. And it's okay, just say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's the love, you know, Jesus carried for us on the cross. So not so that we should hide from him, but so that we can go back to him and say we're sorry. He's waiting with his arms wide open. And then secondly, to stay in accountability with someone. Get someone you can be real with. I want to really encourage you to do this. If it's your small group and you are happy to be open and you know, you can share everything you want with your small group, that's great. But also have someone you can just go a bit deeper with. Just like to encourage you to do that. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I want to encourage you to just turn to someone and just pray through these 2 points. Okay, let's close our eyes. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can learn from it. so much, Lord. Although this is something that Paul wrote to Titus, Lord, saying that he should appoint elders, explaining why. Thank you that we can learn from it, Lord. So many things. And we just want to turn back to you, Jesus. Thank you for your work on the cross. Thank you that you are always, you know, standing with your arms wide open for us to repent and turn back to you. And that's what we want to do this morning. And I pray, Lord, that will be the heart of every person here, Lord, to turn back to you, to turn back to relationship. Not because we broke the law, but because we broke your heart. We want to turn back to your heart. You know, and we want to come back to the heart of worship, Lord. To just say that we love you and we are sorry for, you know, for even like Nicola shared, Lord, like making idols, loving other things, Lord, more than you. We are sorry. In Jesus' name, help us. Amen. You can just turn to someone, maybe two, if you're two, you're welcome. Pray through one or two things God laid on your heart. If you are done, you are welcome to go and grab a coffee and enjoy your day.